When you think of Asian carp, images of rivers full of jumping fish often come to mind. While they are just one of many aquatic invasive species that reside in our region, they're a relatively recent problem, and one that's still possible to get in front of before these fish spread into the Great Lakes. But before we talk about prevention, how did these fish become a problem in the first place?
When we use the term invasive carp, we're referring to four species: bighead, black, grass, and silver carp. And they were originally brought over from Asia for aquaculture production and helping with problems in aquaculture ponds, whether that be algae or mussels or excessive aquatic vegetation.
That's Nick Fronauer. He's the invasive fish coordinator at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And you heard that right. It's invasive carp, not Asian carp. That change in semantics is the result of legislation passed in Minnesota this spring. But back to how they got here. And like many stories regarding invasive species, the road to invasive carp was paved with good intentions.
And this was in the 70s, late 60s and 70s, when there started to be concerns about using chemicals in the environment. So they thought it would be a good idea if we could find a biological control. And after, you know, doing research, an individual put in a request and got fish from Asia. Bighead and silver carp feed at the base of the food level on phytoplankton, zooplankton, and will also eat algae if that's available. So when you see a green lake, it would help keep that clean. Black carp feed primarily on mollusks, snails, mussels, that type of thing. And a lot of diseases pass through mollusks onto fish. So by keeping mollusk populations down, that would help prevent diseases in these aquaculture ponds, which are raising hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds of fish in a confined area. And then lastly, grass carp feed on aquatic vegetation. And in order to harvest the fish more easily, the less vegetation there is to clog up nets and that type of thing, the better. So they were brought over for that reason.
Unfortunately for the individual who decided to introduce invasive carp in the States, the fish did all of those things and more.
They eventually escaped from those ponds, got into the wild, and after residing there at low levels for a few years, suddenly took off. You probably can explain it as they exploded onto the scene, depending on what water system. They escaped in the Missouri-Arkansas area into their tribs and got into the Mississippi, and slowly, they stayed at a baseline level, and then there seemed to be an explosion. And now they're seeing this in other things, like the Illinois River, for example. They started spotting a few isolated fish here or there, and then all of a sudden it seemed like a population just exploded.
And with the population explosion, trouble began. Because invasive carp feed primarily on the base level of the food chain, phytoplankton and zooplankton, they are eating up an important food source for native fish species that depend on that level as their primary food source. This can have huge impacts up the food chain. And beyond that, as you can imagine, boating on a water body where you're constantly dodging jumping fish can kind of put a dent in recreation. These are big fish, and they can potentially cause considerable damage to a boat or the people in it. Bearing all of that in mind, how could invasive carp pose a threat to Lake Superior? While they're not currently an issue here, they're enough of a concern in the Great Lakes that they've been a substantial area of focus for several federal agencies, particularly around a primary vector of concern, the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal. Jared Touche is a water policy advocate at the Alliance for the Great Lakes. The Alliance issued a preliminary feasibility report in 2008, calling for the complete ecological separation of the Mississippi River from Lake Michigan to prevent the spread of invasive carp, meaning no water or anything in it would be transferred from one water body to the next.
Really, the Alliance is one of the first organizations to really get ahead of this issue and fully support hydrologic separation, to really restoring the natural divide that existed, that used to exist between the Mississippi Basin and the Great Lakes Basin. Recognizing that Asian carp are the canary in the coal mine, that this was really a real dangerous vector for other aquatic invasive species, moving in both directions.
While complete ecological separation is the only way to guarantee that invasive carp do not enter Lake Michigan through the canal, the project could have potentially negative impacts on the ships that regularly use the canal to transport wastewater and commodities. The proposal for complete separation has been so controversial, in fact, that a request by Michigan's Attorney General for immediate closure of the canal in 2009 went all the way to the Supreme Court before it was denied in 2010. The case continues in lower courts to this day. For now, the canal remains open, and for their part, the Minnesota DNR and other state and federal agencies in the Great Lakes region continue to look at ways to prevent and deter invasive carp from entering the Great Lakes. Here's Nick again.
Hopefully we can come up with a solution to prevent them from getting in Lake Michigan. If perchance they were to get into Lake Michigan, what are the threats to Superior? That's hard to say. The lake itself is large and the productivity isn't very high, meaning there isn't that baseline, there isn't that food source for them to be there. So the risk of them establishing in Lake Superior is low. There could be hot spots. There could be certain inlets from warm water streams where they may become established. We recognize that as a risk, and that's why we work with these other states in this area.
The bottom line is, you won't be seeing invasive carp in Lake Superior anytime soon. But that doesn't mean that they should be ignored.
I think I can speak broadly, not just about invasive carp, but invasives as a whole. They have the potential to impact communities vastly, and a lot of times it can be negatively. Or it can reduce the recreational value of these resources. And I think everybody in Minnesota is deeply connected with them. And I often get asked the question, well, what can I do as an individual? And I always say, follow those rules, regulations, statutes that are down that, you know, not only pertain to invasive carp, but all invasives. You know, drain your boat, pull off the vegetation, don't move fish around, don't illegally bring in fish to stock into a pond. And I think the second thing is to be up on the issue and let your legislators, let people know that you support the efforts that are ongoing to work on a solution for this potentially big problem.
For more information on how regional agencies are working to monitor and prevent the spread of invasive carp in the Great Lakes region, visit the Asian Carp Regional Coordinating Committee's website at asiancarp.us. For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio, located on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this series comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Music and sounds in this feature were produced by Peter Elvin. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.